Welcome to Why Don't We Dress for Dinner Anymore with host Teddy Crockman, seriously 71 and so sexy. Happy birthday.
Thank you. I can't believe it, Melissa. And Melissa Pierce, my co-host.
Teddy and her multiple personalities.
Yeah, I'm bringing five people with me today.
My name is
There's
Teddy.
Five of me.
My name is Teddy and I remember. Oh, wait.
I'm 71.
Sorry, introduce me. I'm sorry.
Melissa Pierce, entrepreneur, documentarian, and natural redhead.
Not anymore, but we gild that lily.
Anyway, so besides my 71st birthday.
Happy birthday.
We have the holidays coming up.
And we just had one.
Well, we did.
And your birthday is sandwiched between two holidays.
Well, yeah. And it depends. Yeah. Some years when Thanksgiving is a little bit earlier, my birthday is 1 week from Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And this year it just happened to be the weekend of Thanksgiving. So it's really close to Thanksgiving this year. So it's always nice. You know, we get together at my niece's house for Thanksgiving. She always gives me a nice gift. She bought me some beautiful perfume that she had gotten on her trip to New Orleans.
Does this satiate your like perfume craving from our last guest, Jordan, who had that great perfume that his husband
sent me the link. Oh, that wasn't the custom made.
It wasn't just to the place where you can get it mixed.
Yeah, he gave me the link.
You have to share it with me.
I will.
Link. Okay.
I will. So we have Christmas coming up, and why don't we just chat a little bit about, do you have any like outfits prepared for Christmas? Do you dress for Christmas? What do you do?
As far as even dressing. Okay.
Christmas?
I don't even know what I'm going to do for Christmas at this point.
Oh, okay.
Like my children who they're both grown now. They're doing Christmas with their dad's family this year.
Oh, okay.
Right. I can hang out with my partner and his family, or I can do like a cool solo trip, which I've never done before, but I'm afraid that I'm going to be real lonely. So I don't know.
Where would you go by yourself?
I just find a little cabin, do some writing. You know, it's idyllic. Yes. My sister is going to deliver all of my meals and I'm going to pretend
like a shut-in.
I'm going to pretend I'm alone while every need is catered to me. Yes.
Okay.
I'll probably go to my in-laws' house. But you know, I don't know what I'm going to wear.
Do you guys dress up when you get together at somebody's home, or is it more just a casual kind of, you know,
so in my family,
sweaters and things?
In my family growing up, it was very casual. Okay. I mean, we opened presents in our pajamas, and that was like really the vibe. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when I got married, I came out in my pajamas for Christmas and like hair all a mess.
Yeah.
And the kids came out that way because that's what I was ready for.
Right.
And then my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law came up dressed to the nines, full makeup, hair done.
In the morning?
In the morning to open presents.
Well, that's even I don't do that.
Like, and now I know that Christmas is an occasion when you're in like a mixed family and you just have to ask, do we get dressed first or do we get dressed often? Are we dressing for dinner or are we not?
Right. Because everybody has their own kind of traditions, even how to dress.
Yeah. So, you know, for Thanksgiving, I dressed in like a monotone. I wore a magenta pants and a top.
Yeah.
And then I had a velvet kind of little cape that was a little casual.
Uh-huh.
Although it was velvet, it was like nice and cropped and had a bunch of embroidery on each side.
Oh.
So I tried to like split the difference between, hey, this is an event and I really respect that.
Right.
Like Michael's mom went out of her way to make this fantastic meal, etc.
Yeah.
But also not to like, I don't know, upstage the bride. Is that a thing you say at Thanksgiving?
The mother's the bride?
For the mother is the bride. Like her preparation and like love for the family should be the showcase.
Yeah.
So like, you know, it's.
You don't want to upstage the food?
I don't want to upstage the food. Well, I don't want to upstage the love.
Upstage the food. She's going to look better than the food.
Well, you know what? I always look better than the food.
Melissa, listen. Better than the turkey.
I did not want to be I did not want to be the center of attention.
Okay.
Like, I didn't want to.
But it sounded like you dressed really kind of
stylish. I dressed pretty stylish.
Yeah, it sounds like you didn't, you know, do some, just slap a couple things on your back.
Of course. Like, what's the line of respect at these events? Like,
Depends. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm asking you. What's exactly your kind of family's tradition?
So, yeah. Like, I don't normally host these things. I am still of the age where I'm going to someone else's house and they're hosting. So it's, you know, what's their tradition and can I fit into it? Can I fit into it in a way that's not too ostentatious or not too casual?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's dressing for respect, which I know we've talked about a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a call ahead. And then it's trying to figure out what this person meant by, oh, it's pretty casual. But, and then you're like, well, what's this person's casual? It's like, I know everyone out there is like, yes, I visit my in-laws house and I have no idea what's happening with dress at any time. I know everyone else is thinking this.
Yeah.
Like in your house.
Right.
What is Thanksgiving and what is Christmas?
Well, I used to give both Thanksgiving and Christmas. Okay. I would do all the holidays. Now my niece is a grown, middle-aged woman. She was doing Christmas Eve for a long time and I would still do Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day she said to me, Aunt Teddy, let's flip-flop. When she got married, she said, let's flip-flop. I'll do Thanksgiving and you can do Christmas Eve. And I thought, Thank you. Because Thanksgiving for us is way more preparation because you have not only the turkey and the dressing, but you have all the sides. And we make a lot of Greek stuff that's very complicated. So it would literally be like a 2-day baking, cooking session.
Oh, wow. So, wait, what's a complicated Greek dish? What is that?
Pastizo is like, well, everybody kind of describes it as a Greek lasagna.
Okay.
But it's not lasagna noodles. It's regular kind of like Greek spaghetti noodles mixed with ground beef. You have to saute the ground beef. You mix it with like a tomato sauce kind of a thing. You have to put special Greek cheese in there. Then you mix it all together. You kind of lay it out in the pan. And then you have to make the bechamel sauce. And I don't know if you've ever made bechamel
sauce. Wow, that's like a nice white sauce, right? It's really
And you have to make it and you have to stir it forever for it to thicken, you know. So you're standing at the stove for like 20 minutes, you know, to get it nice and thick and fluffy. You do that and then you bake that in the oven. Oh, then we make spanakopita, which is like a spinach pie. And you've got to work with the little paper thin phyllo dough.
And this is all traditional for Greek Thanksgiving, as you know. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
So you've got the regular Americanized Thanksgiving.
Right.
Plus so we have Greek side.
Yeah, we have the turkey and the stuffing, but then we have the pastizo, we have the spanakopita. We had cranberry sauce and we make ours fresh. We do not like canned. I do not want to see lines in my cranberry sauce.
I remember the first time I saw actual cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah, we make
this. It always came out of the can and I loved that as a child. But
and there are people, my ex-daughter-in-law, I remember when I would make Thanksgiving, I would have to buy her a special can of cranberry sauce because she did not like the fresh cranberry sauce. She was so used to growing up with that jellied crap that was in the can.
Wow.
That I would literally have to have that for her so she could, you know, have cranberry.
She could have cranberry.
Yeah,
that's
she could
amazing.
Enjoy herself. I mean, just because I think it's ugh. For her, that was a memory of her childhood, was canned cranberry.
Well, it's definitely a memory of my childhood, but fresh cranberry sauce, so good. A little orange peel in it.
I
make it anytime I'm creating it in the winter.
So it's Thanksgiving was a big meal.
But how do you...
In my house.
Dress? Yeah.
Yeah, in my house, even if I'm the hostess, like what I'm wearing today, this is what I would wear to host a dinner.
Okay. And
so
what?
I would have my big earrings. I would have my little caftan on. I don't know if you can see this. I'm doing the same thing. Like, remember?
Oh, we'll take a picture.
There it is.
Yeah.
There. You can kind of see it's kind of like got an Asian flared up. It's loose, so it's comfortable, but yet it looks nice.
Yeah.
So usually my niece will always wear a dress of some kind. My son is forget it. I don't care where he's going.
My son is forget it.
Yeah. I don't care where he's going. It's, you know, jeans and a shirt and that's it. You know,
does he wear at least a button down shirt? Is it like a.
Yeah, he'll wear like a button
down shirt. Not like a t-shirt. Yeah.
No, he won't wear a t-shirt typically for the holidays. But I mean, you know, he's dressed very casually and his girlfriend does too. I would say she's more of a casual dresser. But I'm typically, you know, if you're asking me how I dress for the holidays, I grew up, like I said, in a family where everybody was dressed up, even the hostess. You know, I'd have aunts that were hosting Christmas for 30 family members. We had the big fat Greek family.
Yeah,
you know?
Wow, yeah.
And everybody was always dressed, all the little girls. Like, I love my grandson, Alex. He has two half-sisters because his mom is remarried. And she had two of the most adorable daughters I love. Shout out to Audrey and Elena. They're my two little fairy princesses. And I always buy them their Christmas and their Easter dresses. And they look like two little princesses. Now, if I had, let's say I had a daughter instead of a son growing up, that's how my girls would have looked at Christmas time.
You would have princess.
You know, all floofed out with the puffy dresses and the bows and all that kind of stuff. I just love it, you know. So that's how I would dress my daughters. I had a son, which was fun. But, you know, he was more, you know, just wearing the, you know, I would dress him up when he was younger, when he was a little baby.
Yeah.
But then as he got older, you know, it was just more casual.
Yeah.
So we tend to dress for the holidays. We like to make it feel special. We deck out the table, make the table look beautiful, you know, that kind of thing. So it's always, it's fun. We always have a good time. We don't argue. We're not one of those families that get together and argues over politics. Well, because we're all pretty much in sync politically.
Mm, yeah.
Even matters. Religiously, you know, none of us are very religious. So it's not like we're, you know, saying prayers. We just dig in and eat.
Oh, gosh. Who's that comedian? Leslie. She's Black. She's really funny. She was on SNL. I can't remember. She did a holiday skit where, you know, if anybody in your family says something like they're trying to have a conversation that is outside the allotted, like, this is safe.
Right.
She just starts yelling, like just yelling in their ear, and they can't finish there. It was very funny. I'll have to send it to you. How to have this conversation with your family, since there are all of these like tutorials to have. And she's like, no, here it is.
Yeah.
And I was like,
scream in their ear.
Just yell in their ear.
Shut the fuck up.
No, she just went, just leaned in and started like making one syllable noise forever. It was great.
Yeah.
So then Christmas, you have an outfit planned. Do you? Do you normally?
Actually, I think what I'm wearing today is what I'm going to wear on Christmas Day. I think. Yes. I think this is what I'm going to wear because I'm hosting Christmas. Well, we celebrate Christmas Eve with the family. Mm-hmm. Christmas Day, we typically stay home. It's quiet.
Right.
Okay. We have this tradition where I'll get one of those Italian panettone cakes. Do you like those in the box?
Oh, they're
like fruit cakes.
Mm-hmm.
But I make it, there's a recipe actually on the box that I got from the box where you make French toast out of it.
Yes, we make it too.
It's delicious.
Yeah. My daughter's allergic to eggs, so I had to learn to make panettone, egg-free panettone myself.
Oh.
And you have to hang that bread upside down. It's so complicated.
How do you have to hang the bread upside down?
You have to hang it upside down so it doesn't collapse on itself. So you have to like make a contraption. You have to do a whole thing.
I don't.
Like
I
you
just
cook
cut it.
It
up and
oh, yeah, because you buy it and yeah. like make. Yeah.
Oh, I you to, make
it. I had to make it.
Oh, no.
Which was funny. I made it for 2 years and then she goes, I don't really like this. Oh. And I was
and
like,
you went out of your way to make that?
I know. Oh. And now we just buy it and we make French toast because it's so good.
Isn't it? Oh, it's the best. And we always save that for Ken and I, our tradition is I make the Christmas French toast panettone.
So good.
You know, we just relax and lounge around that day.
Right. Because it's
Christmas Eve. Yeah. I'll probably wear this, I'm thinking, you know, because it allows me to move around still and serve and kind of, so I'm not constricted.
It also allows me to eat a little bit more.
Yeah. A little bit more. I'll put on a whole 2 pounds. I am the only person. I told you, Melissa, that I was so stuffed from Thanksgiving that I couldn't sleep that night.
Yeah.
I am the only person I know in the world that can eat a big Thanksgiving dinner. And I got up the next day and I weighed a pound less. You should tell me how that happened.
You made it magical.
Actually a pound less.
It was all the energy you put forth in consuming the food. It's like it was like celery for you. You were just like, I'm eating so fast, I'm eating so much that I'm burning a lot of calories.
I don't know.
Or you burned it while you were having conversation because you do like to talk. And I think that
I am a chatty cat.
But
I did not gain any weight from Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's funny because I don't weigh myself from Thanksgiving to New Year's.
Oh no, I weigh myself every single day.
No, I weigh myself every single day except for between those holidays.
You know what happens if you don't weigh yourself, you'll definitely gain weight. So that's how you keep it under control. I shouldn't be saying this because if you have an eating disorder, do not listen to me.
Here comes a therapist.
This is not for people who have eating disorders. But the way that I keep my personal weight, and this works for me. This works for me. I'm not saying it works for
you. You weigh yourself every day.
I weigh myself every day at the same approximate time.
Yes. Okay. I normally do this, but this is like, I don't.
If I don't weigh myself during the holidays, because, you know, you're eating cookies and all, you got all this kind of stuff. If I don't, because then let's say I have a day where I do put on a pound or two. Usually if I put on a pound or two, it's because I've eaten a lot of carbs and you're retaining water and you get rid of it in a couple of days. But if I see that I've gained a couple of pounds, then I'll kind of like watch it for the next couple of days. But if I ignore my weight for that whole time, then I'll come out of the holidays 5 or 6 pounds heavier. And it's a lot harder to take off 5 or 6 pounds than it is 1 or 2 pounds.
I mean, perhaps, you know? Perhaps that's true. And for me, I don't at all look at my weight during that time because it just adds more stress. Yeah. And except for this year in Chicago, it's so cold right now.
It's
in
freaking
December.
Freaking cold. What the hell is happening
in
here?
January? Like just for me to get out of the house and to get to the gym, that's an accomplishment. But going to the gym is my way to like, hey, be out in the cold and be okay with everything.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time in the gym in the winter months, January, February, March, just to like have something to do in that cold time and to like to up my endorphins because the cold really is a very, very sad time for me.
And it gets so gray around where there's hardly any sun. Yeah. So you can get depressed. Yeah. A lot of people have what's called seasonal affective disorder, which means that they tend to suffer from depression only in the months where the sun is lacking a lot. And so typically they'll have it between November and the end of March, beginning of April. Well, they'll suffer from depression only in those months. And there's been, I don't even know what's the latest research on this. So don't quote me, but I know that there were sun lamps that you could stare at for a certain period of time for people who suffered from seasonal affective disorder, would actually lift their mood because the thinking was it's not really so much a chemical imbalance that's just happening between November and April. It's really just the lack of sunlight that is affecting their brain chemistry. So if they can look at like something that's sun-like for a minute or two, I don't even know how long they use these sunlights. It would
tell us
the spirit.
If you guys are listening, make it like do a comment.
I mean, I never did any therapy with that, but I read about it.
I just take copious amounts of vitamin D during during the winter.
I always take vitamin D because the older you get, the more you need that because of your bones.
Damn.
Yeah, I take 2,000, I would say, units a day of vitamin D.
I mean, what
for bones?
Yeah. What other news is there? What other news is there for our buddy? Like, we're struggling for our buddy podcast. We're like, we already caught up and now we're like, oh shit, we have nothing to say. but it's not true. It's not true.
What's
we
that?
Have stuff to say.
Yes, we always
we
have stuff to
like,
say.
Holy shit.
We always have stuff to say.
We always have stuff to say.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you planning anything for, okay, so we've done Christmas.
Right.
How about New Year's Eve?
I have no plans for New Year's Eve. I think it will be, my daughter is 18, so all of my children are adults now. I am guessing that she has her own plans.
Yeah.
So again, it's one of those times where she's with me, but she's not going to want to hang out with me for New Year's Eve. I mean, if she does, like, you know, we're hanging out.
Yeah.
You know what movie we watched together recently? We made a whole day of it. On Monday, she invited her best friend over, and the three of us watched the movie Spice World. with the Spice Girls.
Oh, I never
did you. That. Did you, do you remember the Spice
yeah.
Girls? Okay. Well, they made a film.
Victoria Beckham.
Correct. Victoria Beckham,
yeah.
Baby Spice or whatever.
Spice.
She was Posh Spice.
Yeah.
Right. You can't find this film anywhere.
I've never heard of it.
It's not streaming. Well, they made, it's an hour and 90 minutes. It's such a long film. And I was never into the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
I never watched this movie.
Yeah.
Adele was talking about, my daughter's name is Adele. Adele
yeah.
was talking about the Spice Girls. And I was like, oh, they made a movie. I've never seen it. She's
yeah.
like, oh, we should see it. We should make it a whole girls' day. So we did face masks and nails and like all of the
yeah.
stuff. And we watched Spice World. And I had to scour the internet to try to find this film. I finally had to buy a DVD.
Oh, no.
So now I own Spice World. If
and
anyone wants
like,
it.
Did you like it?
No, it's a terrible film, but it was really fun. It was a very fun
well,
film.
It was the company you had.
And it was the company I had. So
yeah.
if my children want to hang out, that's fine. Otherwise, we
yeah.
don't have plans. We
yeah.
have in the past hosted New Year's Eve
parties.
Or had a fire in our backyard where everyone could bring their, we call them New Year's absolutions. Like, what do you forgive yourself for this year? Write it down. Let's burn it in the fire.
Yeah.
We'll have a little ritual,
yeah.
Which has always been very fun. And those are always like fancy dress occasions. So we're making s'mores in our finery, in our backyard, which is always fun to do with our friends. But this year I think it's pretty low key for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. You, are you going out?
Always just Ken and I, we just go out usually. Now, last year we didn't. I think, you know, COVID kind of put a kibosh on it for a while. So we had to get back in our rhythm. But we would always go. Traditionally, we would always go to Morton's for big steaks.
Huh.
And I don't eat red meat. So I would usually get lobster tail or something like that. But we'd go out for big steaks, kind of like just once a year, big steak and all that kind of stuff. And I always we'd get dressed up nicely and go out to Morton's and spend the evening at Morton's. And then we'd come home probably around 10 o'clock, get in our pajamas, watch the countdown, the New
watch
Year's
the
Eve.
Ball drop. Yeah.
Ken would fall asleep right after the ball dropped and we'd say Happy New Year, give each other kisses. And then he could go, okay, good night. I could never sleep right away. So I would stay up and watched all the Thin Man episodes on TCM, on Turner Classic Movies. The Thin Man is a series of sleuth movies that was made in the 30s and the 40s with William Powell as the detective.
Do they show these every year?
Every year is a tradition on Turner Classic Movies, starting at midnight. They will typically show the entire Thin Man series, which is, I think, eight movies they made between the 30s and the 40s with William Powell and Myrna Loy.
Now, I've never heard of either of these actors, but now
yes.
I'm going to go watch the
William
Thin Man.
Powell, and at the end, he always takes all the suspects in the room and starts pointing at each one of them and telling them why he thinks they could have committed the murder. And then it's always the last person that he comes to who's the actual murderer.
So the actual,
who at the last minute tries to pull out a gun and shoot everybody.
Every time?
Yeah. Always tries to pull out a gun and shoot everybody. And everybody wrestles him to the ground and they get him. I mean, it's the same ending, no matter what Thin Man episode you watch. It's always the same ending.
I love that so much.
But it's just such a ingrained little my own personal New Year's Eve thing that I do.
Oh,
so
it's your
I
canned cranberry sauce.
That's my canned cranberry sauce is the Thin Man series. Usually I'll fall asleep around 3 or 4 o'clock, usually 3 in the morning I'll start to nod off. So I'll usually watch maybe like 3 episodes of it and then I usually, you know, fall asleep. But yeah, we're not big partiers, you know, as far as we never have been. Even we got married in our early 20s. I was only 24 when we got married. We were not, you know, big, you know, stay up and party all night till 4 or 5 o'clock. We just never were. You know, we just weren't. We're always more stay at home, you know, have a nice meal, you know, wish in a good new year or whatever. But we were never a big party animals or anything like that. So,
all right. So given we know what's coming in 2025.
Yeah.
None of us are excited about the new administration here.
Oh,
and
please.
Casa, why not? Why don't we dress for dinner anymore?
Uh-huh.
But what are you excited about in 2025? And can I tell you that 2025 starts on a Wednesday? So it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So the beginning of 2025 is WTF.
Get the hell out of here.
I know. It's making me laugh really hard every time I think about it.
That's true.
I know. The end of the week is always the what the fuck.
Oh, I hope we're not. I ended up saying in 2025 every time we turn around, what the fuck?
Yeah, for real.
What the fuck is that? No, please. I hope not.
Like, what's your dream for 2025?
2025. Well, I hope it's a continuation of 2024 for me. 2024 was a very good year. I met some fabulous people, including my little buddy here, Melissa Pierce.
My little buddy.
My little Gen Xer friend, cutie. But I had a great year. A lot of fashion, you know, related stuff. But you know how I love that. First time I went to New York Fashion Week.
You got a Rising Star Award.
I got
at
70. For the FGI.
Yeah.
I modeled on TV.
That's right.
I mean, there was just, I met so many wonderful people through this podcast that we interviewed that we just think are fabulous, smart people. Went to some really nice, beautiful events. I loved wearing that dress from Raj Patel to the Women in Peace Fashion show. They had all the chains hanging from it.
So, that was a gorgeous dress. Oh, you have to send me that picture again so I can show our audience, if they're watching it on YouTube or Spotify, what that dress looked like.
Oh, that was gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, I just had some, Chicago Fashion Week was just so much fun.
Yeah.
It was just a really, it was a good year. It was not a lot of major drama, which, you know, we all have our ebbs and flows with dramas in our families and things like that. This year, I have to say, was a calmer year. It wasn't one of the high drama years. So I'm just hoping that 2025 will be a continuation of that. I have some new, and I'm not going to say what they are, but I have some new, partnerships that may be emerging in 2025 that are in the hopper.
To do with your fashion influence.
Yes.
Yay.
And so there's two that are kind of really exciting, but I don't want to say anything because I have not had the discussions yet where you have like planned phone call kind of things.
Okay. Well, but I'm excited for you.
I'm just hoping that 2025 will be a continuation. I just have to say, Melissa, that, you know, for those of you who, you know, everybody is aging, we all turn another year older every year. We all make another trip around the sun, whatever the hell they say. But, you know, for those of you who are dreading being another year older or whatever, I would say, I don't know if I'm some kind of an oddball or whatever, but I actually am enjoying my older age, my mature years, a lot more than I have enjoyed my very younger years, I would say. Yeah, you have some. But I would say really this part of my life, I'm enjoying more than I have ever any other part of my life. And I think part of it is because I don't have anything to prove anymore. You know, when you're younger, you always feel like you should be accomplishing more. You should be achieving more. You should be doing more, you know, that kind of thing. When you reach my age, I've had my career. I'm retired. I have absolutely nothing to prove to anybody other than to myself that I can keep going, that my mind will still stay sharp, that I can still look and dress well, that I can still have fun with people, especially younger people like yourself. You know, always having younger friends always keeps me younger too, you know? So, I just have to say it's a good part of my life. You know, it's not like this hideous thing turning old that I remember my husband used to say to me when we were younger, I'd say, think about Ken when 50 years from now, when we've been married for 50 years and, you know, it's maybe like 23, 24 at the time. I said, do you realize when we're married for 50 years, we'll be 74 years old? Now, I'm only 3 years away from that. And my husband would say to me, oh, you're going to make a cute little old lady. You're going to be so cute. Such a cute little old lady.
Well, he was wrong because she is foxy as F-U-C-K.
And I think to myself, never did I think, you know, because my grandmother, you know, my mom stayed fairly attractive, although she died to me rather young. She was only 74. Mm-hmm. But she had put on kind of that middle-aged weight by that time. You know, she didn't have anywhere near the figure that she, my mom had a gorgeous figure when she was younger. So, you know, you always think of yourself as kind of being like that. So when I think of it, I think, wow, I did a good job.
You took care of yourself.
I took care of myself. If I didn't do anything else well in life, I certainly, people might say, that selfish bitch.
That's
she took care of herself. She didn't take care of anybody else, but she took care of herself.
I think
that selfish goddamn bitch. She took care of herself, but she didn't take care of me. I don't think that's true.
No, but that's funny.
But it's, it's what I have to say is, Melissa, I'm surprised every year. I'm surprised every year. And it's not a bad surprise. It's at least as long as I have my health. Mm. Once your health goes, then pretty much you're done. You're kind of like fried, done, turn me over. Well, I mean, we always talk about, you know, how we're going to be buried. You know, that's the latest thing is the burial and the wills and all.
Oh,
that.
Good
heavens. And I always say to my niece and my son, I don't care if you shoot me out of a damn cannon. Once I'm dead, I'm dead. I don't care what you do with the body. Oh, I'm not going to be around. I'm not going to be there to see it. And so every year they have this conversation of how they're going to bury me.
Oh my gosh. That's hysterical. What's the best? What's the best one?
Shoot her out of a cannon naked on the front lawn. I've had everything. Mm. It's hysterical.
That's pretty
funny. They make up new and inventive ways every year of how to bury me because I told them all, I don't care if you put a baby Jane wig on me, make my red lips go all the way around my mouth, and put big false eyelashes on me and shoot me. So we have the burial joke every year.
All right. That's so macabre and wonderful. And I love it. Yeah.
We're
weird. I love it.
We're discussing how they're going to bury me.
I hope everyone has the year that you are hoping for or the year that you had last year. I hope there's a lot of possibility in there.
It's what keeps me going. You know, so when you look forward, I mean, I think we all, when we go to a new year, no matter how old you are, you always want to think it's going to be even better. Mm-hmm. Even if it turns out to be the shittiest year you ever had.
At
the
beginning
of the year, you're going in with high hopes.
Yeah.
So that's the good part about New Year is it's a new chapter. You know, we can all start all over again. There's new things on the horizon. You know, I don't know if you watched The View. Do you ever watch The
View? I never do.
I love Whoopi Goldberg. To me, there are two American treasures in the world, and they are Dolly Parton
Agreed.
And Whoopi Goldberg. I think that those two women, I cannot be unhappy and watch Whoopi Goldberg or Dolly Parton. I just can't be. Dolly Parton, you just look at her and you just smile. She's just the most lovely, wonderful person. And Whoopi Goldberg is my soul sister. She just says it like it is. She just tells it like it is. She doesn't care what she's going to say her opinion. And that's that. And I love that about her. And one of the things that Whoopi Goldberg was saying, they were talking on The View the other day. And they were talking about, you know, the coming administration and Trump and all that kind of baloney.
Yeah.
And, you know, Whoopi Goldberg, and, you know, most of them on The View are very liberal. And then they have Alyssa, who's a Republican. She's more conservative. And most of the time they're, you know, they're all down in the dumps because Trump got elected and all that. You know what Whoopi Goldberg says? She says, let's just wait and see. Let's not get ourselves all worked up. We don't know what's going to happen until it actually happens.
Yeah.
So why don't we all just take it down a notch, sit back, get your popcorn ready, and see what happens. And I thought to myself, that's a good way of putting it in perspective.
Right. Especially
let's not anticipate all this horrific shit until it actually starts to happen. And when it actually starts to happen, is there anything that you can do to make that situation better?
Right.
Or is it something that's out of your control? And then you need to decide, you know, where your mind is going to go with that. Mm-hmm. Because you can go into some really dark places with all of the things that were said during
right. And that's the election. Actually, that's a really good strategy for handling any anxiety. But
it kind of puts it into
perspective. I agree with that. It's how much control do you have over what's going to happen in the future in a systemic way? Well, not much.
Right.
Only in a personal, possibly a relational way, but even not that.
So. Exactly. So why get ourselves all worked up about it? So try to be positive. Think of, you know, what are the things that may happen next year? The bigger thing to me is always just let it kind of unravel and let it be a surprise.
But then what are your predictions for next year? Like the wildest bingo card, what's going to happen? You're going to be a co-host on The View. This is one of my predictions.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Well, who knows?
I don't make any, I'm not a predictor. I have no predictions. I don't. In fact, I remember the question that I hated the most when I was being interviewed for jobs was, what's your 5-year plan?
Oh, really?
I hate that because I never plan 5 years ahead. Are you kidding? I don't plan 1 year ahead. I don't plan more than a month ahead.
So you're an opportunity person over a plan person. Yes. Yeah. Which I think is a more sustainable way to live in this day and age. But, you know, I did used to host parties where people would show up as their future selves and they were so much fun.
Oh, that's hysterical.
I was like, your future self. Like, where are you going to be in 5 years? Show up as your most outrageous future self, which is probably what I should do for New Year's this year.
Yeah.
I wonder if I could pull it off in this little time.
Yeah. What would you do? What would you do?
So what's 5 years from now? Gosh, I'd be in my mid-50s.
Wow. So old.
And my children will have graduated from college.
Uh-huh.
And I think that I will have 2 more cats. So that's 4 cats.
Oh, now you're going to turn into the cat lady.
I'm going to have 4 cats. I'm going to have a really a luxe RV that I travel around in.
Okay. I did RV once, so I'll never do that again.
I did it with my children for a time. I thought we were going to, I bought an RV and we, it
Those
was
are big upkeeps.
It was to finish making a film that I'm still making. Yeah. Oh, I'll have finished my film. I'll be living in this very luxury RV that I drive around and park and write and make art, and I will be like the Mrs. Frizzle I'll be working on my PhD still, and I'll be like the Mrs. Frizzle of PhD communications, like travel with 4 cats in an RV. It'll be terrible and wonderful.
So here's the major question then.
Okay.
You're going to be traveling in an RV.
With 4 cats.
Know bathrooms, even in the most luxurious RVs, are very limited.
Oh, we hate that.
What's your hairdo going to be like?
Ooh,
what will your hair look like in 5 years? What kind of hair will you have?
Actually,
cannot be high maintenance.
I cannot
live in an RV. You just can't.
Oh gosh, do you remember Schitt's Creek?
Oh, I love Schitt's Creek.
I love it so much.
I'm still watching.
So I watch it. You know this one and The Good Place. I just can watch over and over. So I'm gonna be Moira, and I'm just gonna have wigs. In fact, the bedroom, you know,
the wig wall,
every wig is going to have its own name.
This wig doesn't get along with that wig.
I've sworn so much on this podcast. I'm going to have to put,
this is our R-rated podcast. If you are under 16 years old, do not listen to us children.
That's right.
So you're going to have a wig wall in your
arm. I'll have a wig wall. Yes, this is my 5-year plan now. Thank you so much.
Oh, my God.
When you show up to this dress
you're
up as your future
me, Melissa.
I know. This is a terrible plan, but I love it in this moment.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That is low maintenance wig.
Right.
A wig is
pretty low maintenance.
I've been experimenting with wigs lately. I had a company called The Wig Company.
I love it.
The Wig Company send me a Raquel Welch wig that I am going to be modeling. In fact, it'll be up before you see this actual video. Tomorrow it's going to be up. Tomorrow's Wednesday, right?
Wait.
My Raquel Welch wig Instagram reel will be up tomorrow.
Oh, I'm really excited to see
that. Oh, wait, my gosh.
Teddy, how many wigs do you own? Maybe you're coming
I just have
me.
Two.
Oh, you have two.
I have two. Now, this is...
I have 11 wigs. I have 11.
No, 11 wigs?
So many wigs.
No? How do you get all that hair into a wig?
You just put it in a...
Yeah, I know, yeah. In a cap, but it's...
You have to braid it.
Oh, you can braid
it? Okay. You have to braid it in itself.
Maybe that would have been better. Because I'm always trying to mash that hair into that wig, and then it pops out that
right.
Skull.
You've got
a
big lumps. And
it's hard to get it in. But I have one wig that I got that I wore on this show.
Yeah, you wore it. It looked great.
You know, I paid $8 for that on Temu.
Nice. Well,
now, the Raquel Welch wig that I got from the wig company is a several hundred, it's like a $600 wig that they sent to me.
Oh, it's going to be gorgeous.
But it looks nice. The only thing is I ordered the wrong size. Now, I got it on and it looked good, but I talked to the wig people and they said, you know, you probably should have gotten a medium because these wigs, for some reason, come in sizes, which I've never seen before.
Oh, I've always seen that adjustable one.
Yeah.
But these I mean, this not. Is a real, this is a primo wig.
Yeah. And so this was petite. Wait a minute.
It's a little
I'm making funny. Myself die laughing. Now, wait a minute.
What happened?
So I was trying to decide. I had my husband measuring my head for this wig. Now, wait a minute.
Ken is the unsung hero of this podcast.
Because he goes, I said, this wig comes in petite, medium, or large. He goes, Teddy, you got a melon head. There's no way.
You and Jackie Kennedy.
You have got a melon head. He says, there's no way you're going to have the petite wig. So he measures my head and I said, Ken, I think I'm coming out petite in this wig because you're like 3 inches off from the medium wig. He goes, there's no way, Teddy, you got a melon head. You cannot get a petite. I order the petite wig, right? I put it on. Wait a minute. You know how the ear flaps or whatever? They're supposed to come down to about here.
Where do they go? You just got a big brain.
Here.
No.
The ear flips are up here. But you know what? The wig was so good that I was still able to get it on. You can't see the ear flaps, but the ear flaps are literally at my temples.
Mm.
And I had to pull it down. And then it's got like a swoopy bang kind of a thing. But then it was a little bit too light for me. So here's a tip, ladies. If you get a wig, and let's say you have many colors in your hair. This is my natural gray, which is very salt and pepper. You can see underneath it's really dark still.
Yeah.
And then on the top, it's more silver. So you got all these shades running through it. If you get a wig and it's all one color and your hair naturally tends to have more shades, you know, in it and stuff like that. What I did was I took, you know, that root spray that you can get to cover your gray roots? I bought dark brown to match the color of my natural hair. I bought the dark brown root spray, and I actually sprayed the roots of the wig so it would have some depth, some color. And then I took a little bit of the bang, and I sprayed it with the brown spray.
That's
then
so combed smart.
It right away. And it kind of made the bang have a little bit more depth to it than just it all being like kind of this silvery latte color.
Right. But Raquel Welch did dye her hair very thoroughly, but it looked better on you. The coloring looked great on you.
The color, and it was, it actually turned out really nice.
Well, I'm excited to see it.
For the Instagram reel, the wig actually looks very nice and the way it's supposed to look, even though it's too small on my head. The problem is if I wanted to actually wear that wig out because I ordered the wrong size,
and
it would be uncomfortable because you know what? I did wear it out. In fact, I wore it out for my birthday brunch just to try it out for a spin.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing worse than tugging on your wig like this, you know, when you're out and then people can tell you have a wig on. So I keep going to the bathroom and like pulling it down.
And because
and
you
feeling like it was like, I feel like it was.
And because you
popping up.
Because you sprayed it, can you exchange it? Like, do we need to have this conversation on?
No, let's not have that conversation.
Okay,
Well,
I can never borrow this because my head is much bigger than yours.
It is. Believe it. I have a cassava melon head.
Mm.
Let's measure our heads together. They're about, now, wait a minute. Mm. Everybody, you have to know, I am 5 feet tall And Melissa is 5'9". So this woman is literally almost a foot taller than me.
My face is shorter than you.
Her head is actually the same size as mine. So I've got the same size head as she has on a 1 foot shorter body.
It's all that brain, Teddy. It's all that brain.
That's what I told my husband. I just said, you know what? My brain is so big. That skull had to keep expanding. So I got this little body and I have this huge head. But you know, my husband told me, he said, you know what? That's what makes you very photogenic. He says, one of the things that they used to look for in people on TV is people who had big heads.
What?
Because they photograph better.
This is the meat. I can't believe we got to the end of the podcast and this is the real meat. We need to start looking.
Big-headed people head for Hollywood.
That's right. That's our tip. That's our tip for the year. If you got a big head.
If you got a big head, you're going to be a star. Go to Hollywood because they are going to look for your big head.
I have a
big-headed people unite. I might have a small body, but I have a big goddamn head. Look at this.
You got a big head, Teddy.
I do. Look at our heads are the exact same size.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, melon-headed Teddy. So there you go. So anyway,
2025, we predict.
2025 is going to be a great year for everyone. Just ignore Trump. Pretend like he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And we'll all be fine. We wish you all happy holidays and the best of new year.
Mm-hmm.
We have this podcast and one other podcast that we'll be showing before we take our break for the Christmas holidays, where we will be returning mid-January with more episodes of Why Don't We Get Dressed for Dinner Anymore, Melissa?
I don't know, Teddy. Why don't we?
Ta-da. We rattled up.